CliffCentral.com.
Well, this is someone who's very, very cool. He enrolled as an apprentice back in 1995. Shucks. As a hairstylist apprentice. And after working professional career in fashion design and a part-time career in opera as well. Look at that. At the State Theatre with former PACT as an opera chorister. Jack of all trades. That's actually kind of impressive. I now feel like, what am I exactly doing in my life? But now Stoffel is a master. I think the term impresario is the way to go with him, right? He's a hair impresario.
Stoffel, do any of those words resonate with you? Because we've been trying to find out what the title is.
Impresario.
Yes. I don't know. It just sounds very, very fancy. Morning, how are you?
Fantastic, and you?
All the more better now that you're here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to come and have a chat with you guys.
Yeah, Stoffel, I'm sorry that Gareth's not here.
Tell him I say, how's it, doll?
Literally, like, at 5:30 this morning, we got a message saying, I'm really man down. But he was bigging you up a lot this last week. So how long has he been coming to you?
I'm not keeping count, really, but probably about a year and a half, 2 years.
Okay, because we were talking about this earlier, right? So as Gareth's not here, we're going to take advantage of this. Is he...
Oh, my word. No, you guys set it all up, I'm sure. What did you put in his coffee last night?
No, because, like, he's very blasé about day-to-day stuff, right? He makes out, like, you know, there's nothing... He's no fuss to anyone. He's just in and out and that kind of stuff. How difficult is he as a client? Does he come to you with, like, sort of, like, he brings you pictures and goes, all right, I want to look like this? Or is he very much like, okay, just make it look nice?
Okay, what do you guys want to hear? The truth? Or shall we play radio?
Only ever the truth.
Because the truth. I'm asking for a reason.
Only want the truth.
No, listen. I met him quite a few times way before. And we chatted, you know, randomly. And I gave him my detail to come and have it, you know, check us out.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he's not really into hair and stuff like that. He's not really into... You know, the look of things.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it, but anyway, long story short, that was I actually met him a few times. And it so happened that I met Rena Broomberg, and we had a chat about there's this plan of action that I've got, and I wanted them to help me get people to know about it. And we chatted about Gareth and and by the way, just tell him to get his ass over there. I've now spoken to him so many times. Here is my card again. You know, just get him. She's like, yeah, because I've had so many fights with him, you know, with the whole, idols. He's just not doing much about his hair. Yeah. It's like an issue.
Yeah.
Get on with the program then. You know, let him come here. Anyway, long story short, he still didn't. Mm-hmm. And then one of his very good friends... And also one of our brand ambassadors, Greg Hammond, is like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
No, just do something about it. And he came to see me, and we had a fantastic time. To answer you straightforward, I was sublimely surprised by his realness.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm...
No, you're allowed to say anything, Stoffel.
In my chair,
yes,
I'm the boss.
Ah.
Damn right.
So, I don't care who you are, you will do as I say.
So, at no stage does he get there one day.
No, listen, he's not difficult at all. He's amazing. He's really an amazing client to have because he really trusts me. And I suppose it's just because it's all real.
Yeah. Mm.
There's no, he comes there because he likes a head massage and he likes what we do. And he likes what I do, and we communicate well, and a lot of the times he just rests.
And have you ever given him some suggestions, say maybe you should go with this or maybe you should go with that, and he flatly then just disagrees with you?
I have. No, not flatly. We have to, like, grow into what I'm suggesting, and then we eventually, this didn't work.
What are you currently suggesting? Like, is there a specific look? Is there, like, an Owen Wilson type haircut?
No.
Bad example, no, but you get my drift.
No, it's basically just tweaking small things here and there, because we're both in the details.
Ah.
So, now, Stoff, you've been doing this for, I think, as long as Sia has been on this earth.
Literally,
which
yes.
Which is actually quite something to really work that out.
Literally, yes. Yeah.
24 years, to be exact.
Okay, just a little, yeah, I'm a little under that. There we go, yeah.
That's absolutely crazy. So, is this something that you kind of gravitated towards? Was this something that you thought would be a talent, or more, were you just curious about it?
You know what? I was very fortunate. When I was a child, my mom always cut my hair. So there was a lot of whining afterwards, especially when I grew older.
Well, because she wasn't doing a good
no,
job.
She was doing a shoddy job. But hello, I had the idea of what I wanted many times, and I was full of nonsense when I was a child. So anyway, long story short, I started cutting all my friends' hair at school.
How old were you?
Probably in standard 8 those days.
So like 14, 15?
Yeah, started playing around cutting people's hair at home. Eventually, I started perming the auntie's hair on the block, dude. In the garage.
Shucks!
No, for real. There's something in the chemists that they call... I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this. I am allowed to say this. Glycolemon perms, Jono. It's like the trashiest, cheapest stuff out there. So I eventually, my mom showed me, because she used to perm my granny's hair. So I started doing that, and it's like, I never thought about it as a career option.
It was just something, obviously, you weren't like, yeah. You know.
And I became a fashion designer, and I was working... fashion during the day, mm-hmm. and I was cutting people's hair at home, and it became more of a thing for me, actually. So I met people who became clients of mine through the whole fashion vibe, and these were hairstylists who continuously entered big competitions, so I had to help them with the styling of the models and stuff. And that's how it happened that I met this particular couple who I became very good friends with, who I eventually started working with.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, there's now this opportunity for me to start working with these people. Let's just clap it.
Well, that's
and I became a hairstylist.
But obviously, with the whole fashion industry stuff, you know, it went hand in hand, and you really actually understood what it was about then. I mean, like, if you were doing something else, it would have maybe stayed a sort of sideline thing you did.
No, it wouldn't have been.
You really just kicked it and you knew it was this.
Because the two worlds are so close and so intertwined, mm. and because I've already had my fingers on hair, you guys will probably think I'm crazy, but I probably am. When I was little...
Don't worry, Stoff. We are judging you.
Oh, thanks for loving me, honey. When I was little, I would save pocket money to go to the zoo.
Yeah.
And you know they call it a shoba in Sotho.
Uh huh.
The witch doctors would have a horse tail with a stick on it and beautiful beading and stuff that they would like sprinkle holy water or whatever, or just swat the flies away with whatever.
Yeah.
I used to collect those things and over weekends sit and braid it and wash it and you know. So my parents would invite friends into their child's weird rooms, like, what the hell is going on here? So I suppose the whole thing about hair really, really started very early, and I just never recognized it.
But now, Stoff, you went to the army, right?
Yeah.
Now, obviously being a little bit more mature in age than we are, and that must be quite a tough thing. As far as going there, and again, was that something you openly said, like, look, I'll cut the hair, or...
No, funny enough.
I can imagine in a place as macho and dreadful as an army could have been, that's maybe something you could have kept under your hat. But
you know
didn't.
What? I didn't. No. I wasn't even in that frame of mind. When I went to the army, I went to a very special group where we were singing and we were performing to the whole country. In small villages and in big cities and in Namibia. It was called the Canaries. So my army career was very different, very taxing and very... it was very different.
So when was this? Was this like this late 80s?
Late 80s. Yeah. 88, 87, 88. So my army career was different. I never thought about hair then. I just thought about surviving because it was physically extremely, extremely taxing for me. I was very skinny and very small, and the physical training was not small. I was just very skinny. I looked like a so it was very taxing for me in the beginning. And speaking about army, I wish for the life of South Africa that army can be brought back as a compulsory thing.
Whoa.
Because boys in this country will learn so much.
Well, it's true.
Even though I hated it, then looking back at it, it was the best thing that I could have, because there I learned, doesn't matter what, you can, you've got what it takes to do it.
Well, it's also just giving you a common purpose as well. I think a lot of people nowadays, they go through the system where their schooling is failing them all around. There's different family structures.
Not only schooling, social pressure.
Yeah.
It is a killer. So, and the army for me was a very nice, tight sort of thing where I could actually see I actually am good enough.
All right, okay.
And how long did you spend in the army?
2 years.
Oh my!
It was one of those 2 year compulsory situations.
Oh my! And you say?
And listen, I still am not Mr. Macho and Mr. Yeah. Butch, really. Even more so then, it was very difficult for me. But looking back at it, it's really the best thing that could have happened to me.
Okay, so from the army, now you know where your talents lie, you know what you want to do, you know you got what it takes. How big were your goals kind of starting out? Because back then as well, we're at a time where, I mean, if you look where we are now, 2017 with the internet, you know, the sky's the limit, all that kind of stuff. You were still living in a very conservative country. Chances of becoming this international sensation or anything like that, I mean, it doesn't really apply to us. So what was your sort of big step towards aspirations from there?
I am going to confess something to you guys today. Since I was little, I was probably shy about it, but deep in my heart, I knew I wanted to have a little bit of spotlight.
All right.
That's whether it would be with singing or with acting or with being an artist. So that was always an aspiration for me to have acknowledgement.
Yeah.
And I suppose the bigger one wants to be acknowledged. It can go both ways, hey?
Mm-hmm.
It can go south or it can go up. And I personally have learned in the last 2 or 3 years that man's acknowledgement is not half what God's acknowledgement in one's life means, you know. So yeah. To answer your question, I've been interested in being known for a very long time.
But don't you also find, like, in your industry, you're putting people in their own kind of mini spotlights every single day? I mean, there is something kind of empowering about what you can do for someone's appearance. And in this country, the hair and beauty, that kind of stuff, it's a big deal, right?
Is that
something that gives you a big kick as well?
It does, definitely. It does, because I firstly love people. I love people. And a lot of times I realize that hairdressers don't understand the huge responsibility that's on our shoulders when we enter a person's private space. Because sure. when you walk into the salon door, you already surrender your private space to me.
Or to the person. That's the mindset you need to be in.
Or to the person that's shampooing your hair at the basin. And that is a huge responsibility. Hairdressers don't always get that. So I'm fortunate that I got this very early in my career. And if we respect that, as hairstylists, people are going to open up. And what do people do in the hair salon? They open up. They come and tell us everything.
Well, exactly. That's what we wanted to kind of get to. When you said people tell you everything, now you've had some clients for what, like many, many years, right?
Yeah.
You will have those people.
I'm fortunate. There are people traveling from quite far to have their hair done with me.
Oh, wow.
From Pretoria and from... There used to be a group of ladies from Delmas who were
called,
you know, a whole lot of... And then they would actually get into a combi and come and have their hair done in Sandton. They come for a shopping and they come for lunch and they do a whole story. There's people from Cape Town. I have a girl who comes twice a year from London. She's got family here, but I believe that she only comes for her hair.
Wow.
That's incredible. But do you find like there's a respectful line about what gets shared, or do some people just, once you're in the chair, they have given
it all? No, listen, there are some people who don't have barriers at all. There are some people who just don't know the line where not to tread. I suppose it's a desperation that some people have these days for the same kind of acknowledgement and for the same kind of acceptance.
Okay, so what are the most common shares? Is it relationship? Is it career? Or is it kind of like a self-worth kind of thing?
I'm going to categorize it for you.
Yeah.
Are you talking about sober sharing or intoxicated sharing? Because
both.
There's probably about a third, a quarter of people who come to us who are self-prescribing and who are not really
all there, even when they are there.
Okay, I wasn't expecting that. Sounds horrible.
That sounds horrible, but yes, it does happen quite regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that listen, I'm all my friends, everybody knows that I've dabbled there myself hugely.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when people are not really compass mentis, they're just floating.
Yeah.
I can see that. I don't know about you guys, but let's not hover about that. More importantly, people speak their minds.
Yeah, like conversation open things. Up, they it's open like, up. You know, if a lot of times up, it'd be different to me opening up about stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of times I think people walk out the salon saying, oh my word, what have I just done? Did I really say that? Did I really share that about myself or about this or that? People actually do share quite a bit. A lot of times it's relationship stuff.
But do you ever find, like, you know, you get someone that sits in your chair the first time, and human nature, we box people, we get a sort of understanding or perception around someone, and then the more they talk, you're thinking, jeepers, this is like an onion of, like,
yeah,
unflowing.
This is getting worse and worse. My eyes are getting more and more watery. Yeah, I know. It does happen like that. What I often find is, and this is just because I've been doing this for quite some time, you eventually start to just understand a little bit about human behavior when you meet somebody, especially for the first time. And we're getting back to the whole respect thing again. When you respect that person really and properly,
mm-hmm.
they're going to pick that up, and that respect will be reciprocated. And I think there's something in that as well. It's the same thing about if you like somebody, they will like you first.
Sure.
I mean, they will like you back. So, and I think that's got a lot to do with why people just open up so easily.
Okay, so let's really get down to it. Without getting too specific, what are women opening up about the most? What are they dishing up about?
Relationship stuff.
Is that pretty much
the fact that men don't really appreciate them for what they are.
Huh.
That's one of the
Ben
things.
Ben is just taking personal notes. Like.
But like, I'm curious, right? Because for many women, this is a really big thing. To go to a hair salon, but you can back me up here, chime in when you want. But it's a really big thing. Firstly, they're going to look fantastic, so that they're ticking that box. It's great. I mean, for a lot of women, this is better than sex in their relationships, and they'll probably let you know about that. So, you know, guys always wonder, why do they go for so long? Why are they so excited about it? Why do they generally feel happy afterwards? It's not just because of a cut. It's because of this whole therapy kind of thing.
True. But I prefer not to compare sex with hair.
Well, as guys prefer not to think
that.
What do you think I'm going to say? Hair is a lot better than sex, especially over the radio. I can't speak on women's behalf.
Mm-hmm.
What I can speak on is I know that there's a lot of value that people add to their hair. And let's not just talk about women, let's talk about men as well. Because I'm telling you guys today that the more specific and the more difficult clients that I have in my chair are the guys. The guys that are really pushing for what they look like are more difficult than most of the women.
Because they got
so let's not just open the door.
Oh, no, I was getting to the men's side. I was getting there.
Okay.
But is that because, like, guys have unrealistic expectations?
Oh, huge. Especially if there's seven hairs that grow in three lines and they want the middle part of you.
No, please, you don't want to know.
Oh, my goodness.
Those? No, please, you don't understand. The guys are the flesh fringes who think it's like a bouffant are the worst.
They are
impossible.
But it's quite a difficult thing.
And it's a sensitive thing. One has to deal with it delicately.
Yeah.
Because the guy that doesn't want to know that he's lost half his hair, that doesn't want to know about it, don't tell him about it anymore.
Mm.
Because he's been on all the treatments, he's been to all the clinics.
Exactly.
Just stay clear. Unless you get to a place where the relationship has become easy enough where you can say, listen, dude, I know, I can see that you've had a graft. I can see that you've had transplants. Let's just work with it. Let me just help you through this. Let's just get you the right products to support this. Or, you know, whatever.
Mm.
Anyway.
You see, but that's a big part of it, hey?
It's a huge part.
The relationship and the trust.
It is the most factor. Listen. Your hair, what do people refer to when they speak about someone that they just met? You should know Gareth Clift, the guy with the blonde hair.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the first thing that people always refer to. I don't know if you guys can agree with me, but that is the first thing that people refer to when they speak about someone.
Yeah, it's true.
So therefore, it's a massive story. One has to, and I'm fortunate I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Tap into it.
Well, also, I mean, if the guy's bald, it'll be mentioned straight away.
He's the bald guy.
Yeah.
Which one?
Sorry. Just getting back to those sensitivities. Like, if people I know where I am in my life, I've got to be conscious of this because I'm definitely losing hair. Is it something they go to you and say, look, some guys are more upfront about saying, I'm losing hair, what's the style that's going to suit me? Is it something that you find quite often?
Yeah. Yeah, it unfortunately is something that I find quite often, and it's very sad because it's so difficult to deal with.
Exactly, there's so little you can do.
To deal
but
with that.
Going back to expectations, they believe that maybe you can create some magic thing.
You know what? I, at the end of the day, then know that it's not really about the hair.
Mm.
And that's the power that lies within our hands.
Yeah.
It's to treat that person with dignity and respect and to make them feel special.
So you're almost finessing other areas to counteract the one that you can't really.
Exactly.
Wow.
And the big responsibility there is still not being dishonest about it.
Yeah.
One can be honest without or one can be. One doesn't have to share all the detail, but you don't have to be dishonest about it.
Mm.
So, how many of us would you say are really content, though, with the way we look? I mean, speaking from a woman's perspective, we're barely satisfied with the way that we look. If you've got curly hair, you want it straight. If you've got straight hair, you want the curls. If you're blonde, you maybe want to go red or you want to be a brunette. We're constantly putting in extensions in our hair, clips in our hair, weaves. Like, how many people would you say are genuinely content with the way that they look to begin with? Because when we walk into your salon and sit in your chair, we're looking to transform.
And to look different.
And to look different and better.
Well, what I can say is there are quite a few people I'm fortunate enough to know that are quite content. Mm. I don't know if it's because they're arrogant or whether they're really content, but I don't care. What is the important thing is, for goodness, man, hair grows.
Mm.
Why can't we change it? Why can't we be hectic about it? It grows. Hair is not on our heads just to help us regulate our body heat. We're supposed to be able to change it. Why? The science is there. The knowledge is there to change it. So let's look different. Let's be vain.
Sure. Because we won't look perfect for 3 months while it grows out.
Exactly.
That's the thing. We all just want to look perfect all the time.
I don't know what perfect is, but yes, that's exactly what it's...
Sorry, you were talking about those vain people? Exhibit A.
I'm so vain. I think this song is about you.
They all are. First off, getting back to that whole spotlight thing, you are the newest sort of member of Cliff Central. You're the first one that's going to have a visual show. Is this something that you and Gareth sort of conceived over a session that he came into your salon with?
No, actually
not.
Did you
hold him by the scissors and
no.
go,
you shall do this? How did this come about?
No, you know how it came about? A friend, a very dear friend who has been speaking into our business and who's been assisting us a lot, gave me the suggestion to come and have a chat with Rena from Cliff Central.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at that point in time, I already had a little bit of a vision about this whole thing about people, you know, that talk about their stuff when they are sitting in the hairdresser's chair, and I want to do something about it. I want to expose it a little bit, because nowhere in the world have I seen people chatting to other people in the world about what happens in the hairdresser's chair.
Mm.
There are guys interviewing people in their car and, you know, doing the whole karaoke thing, and there's no one who does a chat on hair stuff.
So is the show going to essentially be you interviewing people during the cutting process?
Yeah. That was the idea when I came to Rena, and they suggested, why don't I become part of the radio show and have a chat about this? I've got another idea. Why don't we do video clips about what people talk about and what we discuss and how we do things while people are having their hair done? And essentially I thought, let's just get celebrities on board. And then I realized, but there are so many amazing people that we meet. I'm going to actually tap a little bit more into real people as well. Not that celebrities aren't real people, but...
But they're a lot more guarded with what they say, whereas someone who doesn't have much of a profile to, say, protect all the time.
Yes, exactly. So my idea is to expose what happens in my chair in a nice way. And it's all through hair, of course.
But someone who definitely let go, though, and was an amazing guest, I actually got to see a little sneak peek at this, was Nina Hasty.
Yeah.
Who was your first guest. Yeah. How was that?
It was amazing. You know what's beautiful about this? It's all... There's no script. There's no nothing. Except when they come in, we wire them so that they can be heard.
Yes.
And then we take it as it comes. A whole recording can take up to 3 hours because we do everything. I've had a few other guests in the salon who were screaming of laughter because then they trip over wires and, you know, then we have to stop because the water is running into the microphone, so let's just unwire quickly. So it's real. And that's the beautiful thing about it. There's no script attached to what we're doing, and there's no... I'm trying to keep it as real as possible.
Okay, so Nina was... I mean, we all know Nina very well here, so she was your first sort of guinea pig with us. Any sort of indication of who else we can look forward to hearing on the show? Or is that very much hush-hush at this stage?
It's a little bit of hush-hush on the one hand. On the other hand, I can perhaps give you this. The second guest that we're going to have is quite powerful, especially in the 80s and the whole 80s.
PJ Powers.
Did you have to?
Oh. Well, you say quite powerful in the 80s.
You were given the hint.
you finished there.
Sorry. I didn't know that you were going to get there. Sorry. I misjudged you.
But, Sofal, do you feel like that they've become like patsy in your hands, though? Because, again, it's coming back to the point that you're under control here. Because I know sometimes in interviews, people can sort of become quite clammy.
Do
you find like they open up quite a lot?
People can do quite clammy. Some people do, and I'm happy with that. I'm fine with that. And I will never poke. Okay, that's a lie.
Yeah.
If I see that there's something brewing, I really like poking.
Yeah.
But I will never do that without having respect for that person.
Okay, now the obvious question. Is Gareth going to be in the chair for one of these episodes?
I hope so. I really hope so.
Have you asked him? Have you even brought it up yet?
No, you know what? I spoke to Rena. She's like, he is so not going to do that.
But this is why he has to do it. This exactly. is exactly what he will say.
So why? Okay, guys. So why don't we all push together? Why don't we?
I'll even write you scripts. I mean, let's make this happen.
Listen, I have previously strapped someone down in the chair and did something to the hair. We can strap him down.
Yeah, no, I'm all for it.
You know, I think the strapping down is not the most important. I think the gagging part is the most important because we don't want him to whine about it before the time. Oh no, this is getting way out of control.
No, this is just another day in your life though. I would love to just spend a day at Foyle.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah, foil styling, just sit there. What do you guys serve, bubbly, or was it more wine?
Why do you bring alcohol into this?
No,
it's
I
about
just want
hair.
To
he has okay. a bit of a problem. Shame, we're trying to get him off the stuff.
I was just getting into the foil.
There's
culture.
A liquor store downstairs. You can go down for your smoke break.
See, now you are my type of guy. I'll just sit in the corner there and observe. What's a day in the life of Stoffel at Foil specifically like?
These days it's quite stressful, unfortunately, because we are a business is so hard, and it's so difficult to run a small business in this you know, business weather and the climate around us. So we have to be really very specific and very what's the word? We have to be very specific about what we're doing about the service that we offer. So hey, because I'm running the business,
clinical essentially with
it. Yeah. Because I'm running the business, my beautiful wife also helps me as far as she can. She's running a hectic day job. She's also my business partner, Antoinette. And she, between the two of us, we try and shuffle all the responsibilities. And it sometimes gets very difficult for me because essentially I want to make sure that what happens behind my chair is of highest quality. And if I get interrupted sure. three times while I'm busy with somebody's haircut, it gets so annoying.
Mm.
And I try for people, or shall I say, I'm really trusting that my clients will understand, but I know that there's some of them that don't really like that.
And again, I apologize back to the for experience.
That.
Yeah. So before we let you go, there's a couple of messages here. First up on the WhatsApp line, what is the best treatment to help straighten hair follicles?
Straighten hair follicles.
The best treatment to help strengthen hair.
I was about to say, dude. Wow. Come on.
Learn to read. What's the best treatment to help strengthen the hair follicles?
To eat well.
Eat well.
Sleep well. And to not stress. And then there are products that you can use from a topical level to make sure that the toxins from air pollution and from inferior products are removed.
So stress is a big factor here. Stress Huge. Is the worst. It just messed everything up.
Huge.
Can says Stoffel is the best. His catchphrase is long story short, but never is.
Ah!
He loves you dearly.
Thanks, Can.
And then, this is also from Anonymous, Ben asks Stoffel if he can switchblade your beard. Is that something else you guys offer?
I do, yeah.
Because that would be a great interview.
I'm sorry, yeah. what is that?
Okay, so it's a single blade shave, basically. Like, it's called the cutthroat?
Cutthroat is another word for it, yeah.
So
a cutthroat is if the mob turns you on the chair and makes you lie back with white foam and say, now, we are not going to hurt one another, are we?
Okay.
And we shave our clients' neck and we trust him implicitly.
I imagine that requires quite a lot of skill.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. I'm not very good at it. I have to be honest with you. I've done it. Many years ago, I taught students how to do the whole process. But the physical action of
shaving. How do you learn something like that? Do people just volunteer?
Through trial
with
and error.
Blood.
Oh, there we go.
And sweat. And tears.
Because I heard people actually use balloons to practice
it. It's just the wrist action. The balloon is just because of the wrist action. But if you've got a Mediterranean guy coming sitting in your chair with the toughest, stickiest beard,
like a beard like gravel,
and you don't have experience, you are gonna cut him. And I once did that, and
there's lots because I mean if you look at the chin structure and cheekbones, jawline.
There's something to be said about a good barber, guys. There's something to be said about a good barber.
I'm not going to volunteer for that episode then.
So Ben, no, I'm not going to shave. No, your beard's fine. I can do that. Your beard is not so hectic.
I mean, Stoffel, you mentioned cutting someone, and I remember I had an incident where actually a pair of scissors nicked a little bit of my ear. Have you had some pretty hectic fails with someone in your chair where things go horribly wrong?
Very, very fortunate. Only once in my life, a 13-year-old girl that was obviously on sugar or something because she could not sit still. Her mom was sitting next to us. And she could not. I said to her ample times, please sit still. I can't do this. And her eventually, it just happened that a thinning shear just nicked the top of her ear, and she wrecked. And her mom said, "I told you to sit still." Thank God her mom was on my side.
Yeah. She got that.
No, that was the only time that it rips. When I nicked that guy one time, it rips at your soul. Mm. You know, when something like that happens. And it's all about how you handle it afterwards, of course.
Sure.
Like,
jeepers, but it is quite a hell-raising thing. So that's Stoffel van Weg. Stoffel, we have to get to the point where you need to ask you where the show is. When's it going to come out? Because I want to watch this first episode with Nina. What day are we going to find this on the Clip Central lineup?
It's already there.
Yes.
It's already there. It's been there for a few days.
ClipCentral.com, it's available on the homepage.
Rena sneaked it in a few days ago.
Okay. So new videos will be up every 2 weeks, right?
No. Uh-huh. I'm not going to promise that it's new videos will be up every 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
I'm inviting all our celebrities out there to come and have a try at this. Because I'm going to push your buttons and you're going to love it because we're going to have lots of fun.
It's going to be fun at Foil.
Yeah, it's fun at Foil.
In Stoffel's chair.
In Stoffel's chair. And I would like you guys to really go and have a close look at those video clips that we posted of Nina Hasty, because this chick is special.
Mm.
She's got something going for her. And if you hear a bit of her story, it is really, 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 really inspiring to see where she's come from and where she's going. I mean, we can all see where she's going.
Such an awesome person. Hey, last little tidbit. Do we expect some opera singing while we're in Stoffel's chair as well, possibly?
You know what? It depends on who is in my chair, because I won't sing on my own. Not yet, at least.
Well, listen, I'm looking forward to watching even more. It's absolutely awesome. And I'll cross fingers and hold some thumbs for the opera singing as well.
Oh, thank you. Let's hope for that. It was fun being here, guys. Thank you so much.
Stoffel, thanks so much for coming through. And like I said, Gareth's going to get in your chair.
Yeah, we're going to make sure.
It's going to be
a group effort.
I'm going to need you guys to streamline. You know the landing lights?
No, we've on
the landing strip? I'm going to ask you guys to switch on the lights for me.
Just leave it to us. That's Stoffel van Weg. And in Stoffel's chair, a new show that's being added to the lineup. And it's a visual show, so you get to see as well as hear, obviously, our great guest. One of which will be Gareth Cliff.
Let's go, guys.
In the Reds for the near future. CliffCentral.com.